All right, let me give you from the Umbrella Talking Book Library in Albany, Jane Summers. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl, and congratulations to all of you on your 50th anniversary. I hope you have a great rest of the conference convention. First of all, the statistics for the Talking Book and Braille Library at the State Library. We're currently serving 38,500 readers. We're down on our readership, and we are promoting the service actively. This is a national trend. It is probably owing to lack of money for promotion. We're not sure. In any event, our outreach has been, in the past year, a series of billboard campaigns for 4 months in the Niagara and Buffalo counties, which yielded some new readers. Outreach to eye doctors across the state, statewide, in cooperation with the Commission for the Blind, to reach them using their brochures and our RAC cards and posters and applications, which all get mailed to each eye doctor in a padded envelope with a letter from me. That's going very well. That will reach 800 ophthalmologists, retinal specialists in the state. And we have renewed our outreach to public libraries. There are 760 public libraries upstate, and we are sending our information, rec cards, and posters, new applications, to every public library in upstate New York. We are producing our first book. We are using the recording studios and the services of the American Foundation of the Blind in Manhattan, Keep the Money in New York. Our first book will be Carl Carmer's The Tavern Lamps Are Burning, Literary Journeys Through Three Centuries of New York State History. This book is a very important and interesting book. It is a series of short stories, reminiscences, diary entries, canal songs, and poetry written anywhere from 300 years ago to up to about 1950. And it makes terrific reading. I read it when I was a teenager first. I recommend it. It will come out in digital format. First, we will get the cassettes, and then we have commissioned with them to produce the flashcard later. What is our flashcard planning? It's to restore the cassette collection as thoroughly as we can. When 2011 comes, there will be 80,000 cassette titles at Tibble, and there will be 5,500 flashcard titles. Consider that if you read. How many of you here actually borrow books from your Library for the Blind? I saw a lot of people who didn't say they did, but your intellectual development and your popularity as a person in conversation is directly related to what you know. And how do you learn what you know? Well, one of the ways you learn it is by reading. Space planning. We're creating space for the cassette books and space for the flashcard books. We're stockpiling 10,000 cassette players. We're encouraging and rewarding our cassette repair people. We're stockpiling 10,000 empty green boxes to put the books in that we're going to duplicate. We're ordering 10,000 more blank audio tapes before you can't get them anymore. And our GE Senior Elfin Society has a person on their volunteer group who is repairing our cassette tape duplicators, which are not easy machines, because the companies no longer repair them. We are planning for the future, and we need to. The National Eye Institute's survey that came out this spring, they are part of the National Institutes of Health, predicts that there are 220,000 potential readers in New York State. Oops. While we're promoting, we have 5 staff vacancies. The oldest member of my staff is 68. We don't have any young staff. But we're hanging in there. And we know a lot about how to run the place. Now, what we're asking you to help with, as usual, is when you come up for your legislative weekend. The New York Library Association has developed a fact sheet for us and is requesting money for all the libraries for the blind in the state. And I have copies of the fact sheet here, along with Braille versions, large print versions, and cassette versions. We're ready early for you people. So if I can deliver those to the chairperson of your legislative committee today, that will make the legislative committee well prepared as well. And I wish you a very good conference.
Before you go, you've been a great proponent of our Newsline program, and I wonder if you would tell the people here about the way upstate people can apply for Newsline through your library. I think it's wonderful.
Thank you, Nibby. All you do is call us, and you, if you are calling us, you know you get a real person. And so all you do is call us and say that this is what you want to do. Our software makes it possible for us to register you and send the information to Baltimore. So just do it if you haven't done it yet. Now there's one other thing, since Bob isn't here. I have the description of the flashcard playback machine. Would you like me to read the description to you?
Yes.
All right. It's approximately 1/3 the size of the cassette player and 1/2 the weight of the cassette player. It is CD audio quality, and it features a help to help users find their place after they've fallen asleep. It has a very simple user interface on the basic machine, similar to the E1, any of you remember the E1. It has built-in audio prompts that make it easy to learn how to operate the machine. Hey, good. It has keys that are easier to press than on the cassette player. It has fast, flexible navigation with the advanced machine. It has twice the playing time on batteries compared with the cassette player. It is designed to last 10 years in the field without repair.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's resistant to spilled liquids. It's far easier to clean than the C1.
Yay.
Yeah.
It has large, well-spaced keys with tactile and color indicators. It has audio prompts that may be set to English or Spanish.
Oh, my goodness.
And it has variable speed with constant pitch. Now, remember, you're going to have 5,500 titles by 2011, and they're going to be split between juvenile and adult, and they're going to have to hit all the popular stuff, and you're going to have 80,000 cassette titles sitting there waiting for you. And so you're going to have both machines, aren't you? Okay. All right. That's it. Any questions?
What is the count?
Yeah,
how big is the count?
Okay, wait a minute. I need you to say your name. I have Ray Wayne first because he called his name.
Oh,
Ray.
I
didn't
say.
Oh, it wasn't. I'm sorry.
No, it was Harold.
Oh, okay. Harold. It was Harold who called his name. And then I'll take you, Eric.
Jane.
Yeah.
I have an APH recorder and also a Library of Congress playback machine.
Uh-huh.
Now, I can use the tapes from the library on my APH machine.
Yes, you can.
Now, if you want, if you're stockpiling machines, you want me to return the other machine to you?
No, Harold, that's fine. Our cup overfloweth.
So what do you want me to do?
If you want to return it, you can, sure. If you want to keep it, go ahead.
You're not in her district. You're not in her service.
You're not in the service anymore.
It's okay. It's okay. Eric?
Well, I'm not nurse, but I'm in New York City service.
Okay. It's okay. It's okay. The question is still valid, and it means that you would just return it instead of to upstate. You would simply return it to high school.
Yeah.
Not a problem here. Do I have Eric next? Who's the next person who called out?
Suzanne Sweeney.
Suzanne, go.
I have a question. Do you work with any European or Canadian libraries? Because they have a lot of stuff on DAISY. I was wondering.
We borrow books from Canada when one of our readers has something that interests them. We do interlibrary loan with them.
Okay, because I was wondering if the DAISY stuff would be convertible to flashcards.
That is not something we're contemplating.
Okay.
If I can answer it this way, the flashcards will be designed in a DAISY format, but they're not going to be, you're not going to just, you know, interchange books, because those are going to be, the books that they're using are on CD at present. Jane?
Yes. One other thing I might say here. We have the largest school service in the United States, as you know. We have 16,000 children registered with us between the ages of 3 and 19. That's the one part of our service that continues to grow and grow and grow, even as adults between the ages of 19 and 65. Where are you? seniors, our numbers begin to climb astronomically, age 75 through 110. We are really interested in senior services. And another thing I might say here, our schools are asking us for CD players. We do not have CD players, and we have a budget that we run this whole upstate-wide operation of $730,000. We need your help. And we're certainly not buying CD players. Those kids need IEPs, and they need to have either their parents or their school buy their CD player for RFB and D textbooks.
Okay, any other questions? I've got Eric and Angie. Let me start with Eric. Eric Wood?
I'm just wondering what size compact flash are.
Oh, yeah. It's somewhat smaller than the cassette, and it's thinner, and it is thicker at one end, and it has a hole there, so you know, you have something to hang on to put it into the cassette player. And all I have is a photo.
Is it the one that would go in a Braille note, I guess?
No. It's not going to be compatible with anything but the player that's supplied with it.
And the reason for that is that the mandate for continuing the NLS service is that the format needs to be different than somebody can buy off of the internet. So just like your R4 track cassettes are different, so will these need to be different in order to comply with the law?
It has to be incompatible to commercial equipment.
That's right. That's right.
And the reason for that is that the U.S. Congress is interested in serving you and not having these materials in the hands of everyone.
Angie?
I don't want to get booed here because we're talking about technology, but I just have a question. Where do our local libraries, how do they decide which books they're going to put in large print?
They don't. The commercial publishers decide.
Is that to say that that NLS isn't producing large print books?
That's correct.
Okay. So because of the fact that they are produced by the publishers, and so many publishers are now producing the large print at the same time that they produce the standard size print, that I guess, you know, at this point, it's probably so much more expensive to be done by NLS than NLS is just saying, okay, it's available commercially, so you can get them in your regular libraries.
The large print production has always been a commercial venture by the big publishers. And what would happen in the public libraries is they made the decision on which titles to buy, whether it's produced in Great Britain, here, or Canada. Those are the most common, those are the catalogs most libraries get.
The reason I'm asking is
okay, we have a follow-up with Angie, so hold on a minute.
The reason I'm asking is maybe you should ask a question. I did call the library from where you're at. It's a newer book, Saving Grace by Elizabeth Edwards. I can't get it on tape. It's not on tape yet or CD. It's not in large print. As a matter of fact, it's even on the wait list for public read, you know, the sighted readers. So well, how is it fair that if I hear about this book and I want to read it as a hot book, I have to wait forever before I can get it in a format that I can read?
Well, I mean, but the sighted readers are waiting for it too, is that right?
Yes.
But it's available. I mean, you have to be on a waiting list and it's maybe a 3-day or a week waiting period versus a 6-month or a year before it comes out in any other format.
Yes. Are you able to read books online?
I probably could, but I don't know how to do it.
Yeah. The answer to these pressing questions is that if you have a PC and an internet connection and you are online and you can afford it, some of these sites require that you subscribe, then your problems are likely to be fewer. And that's the only thing I can say about large print. I don't like this discussion about large print. Large print is in all the public libraries in upstate New York. And they have to decide how much of their book budget they'll allocate to large print and how much to regular print, and they have a lot of seniors, so they're slowly allocating more of their money towards large print than they used to, but that's about the best I can do for you there. Sorry.
Charlie?
Almost forgot my question.
You got a mic there?
A couple years ago at National Convention when they were talking about the new digital format, they were talking about possibly having special software for the PCs where books could be downloaded. Is that still in the plans?
They are still contemplating that. The National Library has had a number of their key people retire. One of them died. And their staffing level is not as high as it should be. So progress has been somewhat slower. You may know that the flashcard was supposed to come out in 07 and now it's coming out in 08. So all I can say is it's on their agenda.
I can take one more question.
Pat. I would like to know if the Library for the Blind can help with locating accessible books that are commercially available, because I only find out about those by accident. I usually can't find, there are so many different websites and some of them are not accessible, and a lot of people may want to know, besides me, what books are commercially available, especially the new ones.
That are in audio format?
Yes.
Now, in the Upstate Library, we can search Amazon.com right away, first thing, and then several other places. Now, in the Downstate Library, I can't answer for you, I'm sorry.
But Bob O'Brien is not here, right?
Right.
Okay. Unfortunately, I know the library topic is so popular, and we always put it at a time when lunch comes right after it, but are you going to be around at all, Jane? No, okay, she's not going to be around, so you better grab her now, right after we adjourn. Friends, the...